AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Police in Kentucky say the assault rifle a shooter used to kill five people yesterday in Louisville was legal, and he only got it a week ago. Police Chief Jacqueline Gwynn Villarreal.
He purchased the weapon used in this tragic incident on April the 4th. He purchased the weapon legally from one of the local dealerships here in Louisville.
And that is why Louisville Mayor Craig Greenberg says lawmakers need to do something.
We need help from Congress to pass legislation that can give us more tools and ability to try to prevent acts like yesterday from never happening again in Louisville, in Nashville, or any city in America.
The city's hosting a vigil tomorrow for victims and survivors. CBS News is learning more about the highly classified documents leaked online this week. CBS's Catherine Herridge says they could pose a very serious risk to national security.
Pentagon investigators are tracking who had access to the classified material. The Justice Department has opened a criminal probe. The head of the House Intelligence Committee told CBS News it could amount to espionage.
Congressional leaders are starting to see some of the classified material found at President Biden, former President Trump, and former VP Mike Pence's homes. CBS's Kimmy McCormick.
It's a select group of bipartisan lawmakers known as the Gang of Eight. They're now getting a look at these documents on a rolling basis. The Biden administration held a classified briefing on the documents earlier this year, but lawmakers complained that wasn't enough and they needed to know for themselves what these materials were.
This as President Biden heads to Ireland.
Before departing for Belfast, the president said his main objective on this trip is to keep the Good Friday Agreement in place.
Keep the peace. That's the main thing.
A quarter century after the Troubles, Belfast is in many respects as segregated as ever. Peace walls separating neighborhoods still stretch toward the sky. Political paralysis has kept Northern Ireland's government from forming, and occasionally there is violence. Last month, MI5 raised the terror threat level here to severe. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Belfast.
A disappointing prediction for the global economy, CBS's Vicky Barker explains.
The IMF paints a picture of a global economy running out of what little steam it had recovered post-pandemic. Among the reasons why...
Inflation is much stickier than anticipated, even a few months ago.
The IMF's Pierre-Olivier Gourinchat says rising interest rates and nervousness about recent bank failures are also putting the brakes on global economic growth.
It is also worried about a possible global recession triggered by that banking crisis. This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. We know the names of the two police officers shot and killed during a traffic stop in northwest Wisconsin Saturday. They're Hunter Scheel and Emily Breidenbach. Barron County Sheriff Chris Fitzgerald says their families are asking for privacy as they plan their funerals. Cardinal Stritch University in Milwaukee is closing after graduation in May. President Dan Scholes blames a lack of money, rising costs, and low enrollment.
After examining all options, this decision was necessary. I wish there was a different path we could pursue.
Cardinal Stritch opened in 1937. A little more than 1,200 students are enrolled this year. In sports, the Brewers lost to the Diamondbacks last night. Corbin Burns starts for Milwaukee tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Don't you deserve a job you love? Civic Media is preserving hometown radio, broadcasting from main streets across Wisconsin, and we're hiring radio advertising sales professionals to join our rapidly growing network of local radio stations. If you have a connection to your community, prior sales experience, and want to earn an outstanding living where you and your hard work is appreciated, you should apply right now. Find more information on our website, civicmedia.us. Click on the Careers tab.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
It's game day at Jim's house, and the spread is impressive.
Mike's already done some damage with the hot wings, and now he's dropping back and going deep for another slice of pizza.
I sure hope he brought the Pepto.
Mike knows the Pepto-Bismol provides fast, five-symptom relief from unexpected stomach upsets. He's no rookie.
The way he's throwing back those nachos, he's the GOAT.
Be ready for game day with Pepto-Bismol.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
The devil's advocates. Never personal. Only politics.
Relative to population, I believe Waukesha County is running like twice the mortality rate of Dane County.
Right. Well, and then you and your wife braved Mayville to see the band or the play.
But man, I'm vaxxed. I'm boosted. I'm feeling pretty good about life.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about good shape, but I'm vaxxed and I'm boosted.
Yeah. Did you have a couple glasses of wine up there?
No wine. Lots of rum. Rum tum tum.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts. Prepare an emergency kit.
Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that, stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. Welcome to the big show for a tangent-filled Tuesday here on Dueling Tangents. If you want to share your takes with us, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. Got Evan on the board. E, how we doing on this fabulous Tuesday afternoon?
Fair to Midland.
No, I'm well, man. It's a beautiful day. It's a little too hot. Last year. Yeah, man, I got no AC in the car. I got a black car. It gets hot.
So it gets toasty quick, is what you're saying. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
I mean, it wasn't that warm today, man. I'm not looking at a fun summer.
It is above average temperatures, and that does go to a pretty important but one-off tangent to start the show then, Evan. The Wisconsin DNR warning of very high fire danger for southern and central Wisconsin because we are right now above average temperatures. So definitely something that I was planning to get to the show, and why not kick it off right away?
We didn't get like 3 inches of rain in 15 minutes a week ago or anything.
Yeah. It's a very strange and
wild,
hard to navigate climate right now.
It's wild.
But pretty much Highway 29 across the state, anything southern than that, the Wisconsin DNR warning of high fire danger. So if you're like me and you're doing a lot of yard work and you're cleaning things up through fires or anything like that, or you're just having a campfire barbecuing now that the weather is getting nicer, be warned. In southern and central Wisconsin, DNR throwing out that fire warning for a large portion of the state. One of the things that I'm curious about, and this is what I want to kind of kick off the show. Now that we've gotten the housekeeping and the fire warnings, like Smokey Bear warnings,
gotta tell the people, man.
Only you can prevent firefighting.
Let them know. Maybe they forgot.
Forest fires. Yes, you do have to let them know. I think that's important to note. With it, everybody taking advantage of the beautiful weather, above average temperature weather. That is also a side effect of what is going on in our climate right now. But side effect of what's going on in the political climate currently, I'm curious, have we entered the era of divided government that now the courts are going to be the sole battleground? I want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. Last Tuesday, here in Wisconsin, we had the spring general election with the state's highest court on the ballot. Janet Protasiewicz, Milwaukee County judge, defeating former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Dan Kelly for a 10-year term on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
I said I'll say it again. She smoked him. It was
It was a mandate election. That wasn't just a razor-thin toss-up.
It was the cleanest live broadcast that we ever had. It just sort of rolled through.
Wisconsin voters were very decisive in who they chose to represent them on the state's highest court for the next decade. And everybody talked about the consequences here on Dueling Tangents. We talked about it. A lot of the programs across civic media were discussing what the ramifications will be now that that is the makeup of the court with a 4-3 liberal-leaning majority. Coming August 1st is when Janet Protasiewicz will be sworn in on the state's highest court. And the courts continue to make headline news around Wisconsin and the country with last Friday, the dueling court opinions, one from Texas, one from Washington State, surrounding the legality now of the FDA approval of a medical abortion pill, which 50% of abortions in the United States are begun through the medical abortion process.
Medically induced, yes.
Medically induced. Thank you. Induced was the word I was looking for. Evan, I appreciate that. And so now the court battles. We've seen in Wisconsin since 2018, when Tony Evers defeated then Governor Scott Walker, that the courts became a large area where the legislature and the governor, when they had a difference of opinions, it was taken to court. When there was something that the Evers administration was doing that conservative outlets here in Wisconsin didn't like, they took Evers to court. And so the courts have been a battleground here in Wisconsin for some time now, and we now have divided government at the federal level as well, with last November, Republicans taking control of the U.S. House of Representatives and them being sworn in to a majority back in January. There's divided government at the federal level as well. And so have we entered this era of divided government that courts are going to be the focal battleground, that we are going to see all of these suits and litigation attempts to go through the courts right now rather than, say, compromise in state houses and in Congress? Want to hear your thoughts? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across civic media. E, do you think this is what we're going to hear? Is it going to be all in the courts now?
Until we take that majority back, yeah. I mean, you have a majority serving in bad faith. So you see stuff like this. You see threats to impeach, for example, immediately upon election. That hasn't happened.
Well, they're just saying that they can.
That's right.
They're not. The Senate Majority Leader here in Wisconsin, Devin LeMahieu, walking that back pretty quickly after it was floated by some of the lower level members of the Republican led state Senate.
It was a promise before the election. And afterwards, you see this softening of the rhetoric.
Yeah, in that special election race where Dan Knoedl defeated Jody Habish. Her last name is escaping me.
I just know the Habish part.
Yes, and Sinking, I believe. Habish Sinking. That was a very narrow race in the state's 8th state Senate district. And Dan Knoedl was worried. He was pulling out all the stops. He was campaigning on a fact that, oh, well, if you elect me in this special election, you know, the Republicans might be able to impeach Janet Protasiewicz, even if we don't know if she's the winner yet.
Just possible.
We're just going to float this idea. We're not saying we're going to do it. We're not saying we want a flat tax. We're just going to float the idea of a flat tax. This will never. Oh, and then now there's an official proposal behind a flat. Yeah. And so there's been some walk back since that idea has been floated. But Republicans, once Knoedl is seated in the state Senate, they would have the ability to do it. Now, I don't think that they've thought through all the political calculus. And I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of these battles in the courts, though, and I don't know if an impeachment necessarily would come before the courts. That would be something that the legislative body would be doing. But you don't see the compromise when it comes to this budget process yet. I said, leading up to the spring general election, that there would be a tone change depending on the outcome of the Wisconsin Supreme Court race on April 4th, of how Republicans would see if it's bipartisan nature approach to the budget, or if they were going to have an ally in the state's highest court, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, that they would take a little bit more of a hardball approach if Dan Kelly was reelected to that court.
And even more than entering a new era, sort of as you put it, that's part of it. But also, this is sort of the beginning of that era. They're dipping their toe in.
Yeah. Know? Well, and that's the thing. As goes Wisconsin, so goes the nation. Kristen Bry, Jay Mattenair, terrifically naming their show from 11 to 2 across civic media. Because we've seen this since 2018, that the courts became the battleground. And now that there is divided government and Democrats cannot unilaterally act and say, we're going to protect the FDA's approval, a 23-year-old approval of a pill that is as safe as aspirin. The FDA has ruled. They've done studies. They've did everything by the books.
Safer than Viagra, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. And so if it's a safe medical approval that the FDA goes through its standard course of action and approves, is there anything that a right-wing judge couldn't strike down with the current setup? The individuals that sued in this lawsuit in Texas, they cherry-picked this court. They went to Amarillo, Texas, and set up a clinic last summer after the Dobbs decision, post-Dobbs, getting ready to bring this lawsuit. They went to an area, Amarillo, in Texas, that only has one federal judge to oversee a case if a lawsuit was brought. They handpicked their judge, very similar to how Republicans are floating the idea of courtroom roulette here in Wisconsin, that if you're suing the legislature, you would have your county court randomly selected rather than Dane County Court. These litigants in this case in Texas handpicked which judge would be reviewing their lawsuit by setting up shop in Amarillo, Texas. And then if you look at the procedural rulings that this judge did. He essentially took a blog post, Evan, from 2021, saying, well, there may be some side effects, some adverse side effects that this pill creates for individuals that take it. And so therefore, we should look into it more. Just asking questions, this blog was. Very similar to U.S. Senator Ron Johnson throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. Just asking questions. But these questions were asked in a lawsuit before this judge that was handpicked in Amarillo, Texas. And rather than just say, okay, well, we're going to put it on pause or anything like that, he threw out the FDA approval that it was 23 years old from 2000 and said, well, all subsequent approvals of any of the generic drugs that went off of this, all wrong. So really threw into question Americans' ability to receive health care even further than the Dobbs decision last July by this ruling. Now, there's also a court ruling in a blue state, Washington state, that says, well, the FDA has to be able to defend its ability to regulate this drug in all the blue states. And so we're having dueling court opinions now. And it really feels like rather than having our all levels of government compromise here in Wisconsin, the legislature and the governor's mansion, and in Congress and the Biden administration, it really just feels like we're going to be in an era of lawsuits. Divided government, lots of legal battles. Want to hear your thoughts on it. 844-967-2789. We got a number of other Wisconsin headlines we're going to get to, as well as the DNC for 2024 coming to the Midwest, but not Milwaukee like it was going to be in 2020. We'll get into that and more. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. We're going to be right back.
Looking for a new pair of...
Max Inc. Radio presents Bob Blastica 2023. It's Max Inc.'s 27-year anniversary party, and you're invited. Bob Blastica at the Wisco on Willie Street, Saturday, April 15th. Max Inc. Radio's Jimmy K. Rocker and Terry Barr will broadcast live 6 to 9 p.m. Then live music from Eclipse record recording artist Carbellion. With special guest, Milwaukee's Wizard Hammer. And at Mad City's own hard rockers, Iron Plow.
We are the Iron Plow.
Hey! It's Bomblastica 2023, Saturday, April 15th at the Wisco in Madison. Sponsored by Rocker Vodka and Hotel K Pet City. Presented by Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High temperatures reach up to 76 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies. Southwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Clear skies tonight. Lows level off around 55. Bright sunshine again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 80. Dry with temperatures well above average Thursday and Friday, and highs from the mid-70s to the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 73 degrees.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Mathers, you're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media, broadcasting from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side. From Mad Radio, 92.7 FM, WMDX, 1580 AM. If you want to share a tangent with us on this Tangent Tuesday, 844-967-2789. Joined by Evan in the booth and you on the phone lines. Again, 844-967-2789. You can call or text all hour long. And speaking of dueling court opinions that we saw with the medical abortion pill last week, we also have news of dueling conventions here in the Midwest, because 2024, both national parties, the Republican National Convention and the Democratic National Convention, are going to be held in Midwestern cities, according to reports from the Associated Press. Finding out today, Milwaukee already decided as the Republican, the RNC, location for 2024. But we're finding out today, Evan, Chicago. Chicago is going to be the location for the Democratic National Convention, 90 miles south of where it was scheduled to be in 2020. And it's kind of interesting to me. What are your thoughts on this kind of dueling conventions here in the Midwest, E? Do you think the Republicans booked Milwaukee just so the Democrats couldn't? Do you think it's strange that the Democrats are going 90 miles south to Chicago rather than Milwaukee? What are your thoughts?
They're leaving town. First of all, Chicago takes it again. Oh, go Chicago. Feel great about yourself taking industry from your northern neighbor.
Well, they had it in 68 and 96, I believe.
You know, you've already had it twice.
Chicago's had the DNC quite a few times.
You've already had it. You don't need it again. Yeah, I mean, I guess they're to prevent fistfights. You know, bars will be open until like 4 a.m.
That's the normal nature down there in Chicago.
More fistfights later in the evening. Maybe.
That's what your thoughts are? I find it interesting that Chicago is where the DNC is going to land, because they could have picked Detroit. They could have picked Philadelphia for these other kind of blue wall states that they lost in 2016.
We hear you, DNC. Wisconsin isn't important. Don't look.
It almost feels like we wanted to go to Milwaukee again, but we didn't choose fast enough, and the RNC took it from us already, so we're going to go to Chicago instead of
Milwaukee. And now they got a safe face.
Milwaukee. It's interesting.
They humiliated themselves, made a fool of themselves.
Well, they'll still tell you that Milwaukee was the location for the 2020 DNC, even though it was remote, and it was very much based out of Delaware, where President Biden, but then as a just a citizen running for president, Biden was basing his campaign. And so it is interesting that DNC landing in Chicago for the 2024 National Convention. And if you've got thoughts on that, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. Do you think Chicago was an afterthought with Milwaukee being booked by the RNC the same summer? Or they could have done it in 1972. Both national conventions were held in Florida. Same city in Florida. J.R. Ross over at WisPolitics sharing it out earlier today. Sharing it's your political geek fact of the day is how J.R. Ross at WisPolitics refers to it. The parties will have their conventions about 90 miles apart. Since Miami Beach, Florida hosted both in 1972, the closest they had been was in 2004. That year, Republicans met in New York and Democrats met in Boston about 220 miles apart. So going to be the closest national conventions to each other since 1972. But both parties could have picked Milwaukee. Democrats could have said, well, we had this obligation in 2020, and unfortunately, the COVID-19 pandemic prevented us from pulling off a full-scale national convention in Milwaukee. We're going to go back, but apparently not the case. Democrats going to be going to Chicago in 2024 for their national convention. Republican national convention going to be hosted in Milwaukee. The RNC coming to Wisconsin next summer.
They're just tired of the drama, you know? So much drama. And they're not into drama, you know?
What?
Yeah.
What
been a lot of drama here in Wisconsin.
Yeah. And the politics causes a lot of the drama. The drama is caused by the politics, and the politics is caused...
They're just trying to get
cyclical.
Away from it. They're just trying to get away from it, because it's Wisconsin, you know? You know Wisconsin.
I don't quite understand picking Chicago as the launching off point for a party that is looking to be able to expand its base and potentially recall the entire anti-Trump coalition that voted the former president out of office in 2020, how Chicago being the host city for national convention plays into that.
And we've gotten some W's in Wisconsin lately. Keep that momentum rolling.
W's since 2016, 15 of the 18 statewide races won by Democrats versus Republicans. So in the contested races, Democrats are doing a very good job since the former guy was on the ballot the first time in 2016. It is interesting, though, that, yes, if, say, Milwaukee was taken and the Democratic Party didn't want to have dueling conventions in the same city of Milwaukee.
Yeah, taken is even a weird word.
It is a weird word.
They could go.
But even take that into account. They could have picked Detroit. They could have picked Minneapolis. They could have picked any of the number of other Midwestern states trying to bolster those state parties and then host the national convention there instead of Chicago.
I see what you mean. Like the broad effect of moving 90 miles south doesn't change your position all that much nationally.
Well, that was the argument that the Democrats, in a large part, I believe, were trying to win back the blue wall states in 2020, and that's why they picked Milwaukee. That's why they picked Wisconsin in 2020 to host their national convention. It didn't go as planned for the convention plans. They did flip the state back into Biden's column and returned it to a quote-unquote blue wall in the electoral math, but it's interesting that they're kind of taking a completely different tactic. If you've got thoughts on it, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. Coming up next, we've got some further reporting on the Clarence Thomas and the billionaire story we've been covering over the last couple days. We're going to dive more into that and take your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents on Civic Media.
All flown on, all right. Don't you worry, we'll all flown on, we'll
all right.
Flown on.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Tennessee Congressman Morgan McGarvey says there needs to be legislation that addresses mental crisis after yesterday's rampage in Louisville.
We can come together at the federal level, working with each other, and get universal background checks so that people who shouldn't have a gun can't buy one.
President Biden's on his way to Ireland to celebrate a long-standing peace deal between Catholics and Protestants. CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
The president's trip has been timed to the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, the 1998 power-sharing deal that ended the Troubles and set a framework for a lasting peace.
Florida Republican Webster Barnaby is apologizing for a rant about transgender people.
That's right. I called you demons and imps who come and parade before us and pretend that you are part of this world.
He was talking about a bill that would criminalize using restrooms that match gender identities in the state. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. A bill is being reintroduced at the federal level to further distinguish dairy from non-dairy products. The CURD, or Codifying Useful Regulatory Definitions Act, will create a formal definition of natural cheese. It will also require all ingredients be listed on the labels. Senators Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson both support the measure. The FDA would need to agree to the new standards before the act would be passed in all states. Central and southern Wisconsin at a very high level of fire risk. All counties south of Marathon are listed at a very high fire danger level, according to the DNR, which warns that grass fires can pop up very quickly. If you need to burn something, make sure you have the proper permits and have water close by. The DNR responded to more than 30 wildfires in just the last week. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joe Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. A Shiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit AsiaRetirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Every day to take away a little piece of you, a little piece of me.
Dueling Tangents. I'm with Mathers. Got Evan on the board. You on the phone lines. 844-967-2789 for a tangent-filled Tuesday. Already covered dueling court cases, dueling conventions coming to the Midwest. And we got a little update from the fallout, really, from the ProPublica story on Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, United States Supreme Court Justice Thomas, and his billionaire benefactor, who has been lavishing him with trips for the last two decades that have gone undisclosed on Thomas's court filings, his ethics filings. And so we're going to get into that, but before we do that, we're going to head over to the phone lines, 844-967-2789. Joanne in Madison. Joanne, what's on your mind this Tuesday afternoon?
Hey, just a tangent on this whole idea of Chicago getting our convention. It should be in Milwaukee. But here's the rub. We've got an amazing governor over there, J.B. Pritzker, who is a billionaire. He's not great looking, but he's young. And this would be a platform for him to be president if we needed a backup presidential candidate. Okay? Say, anything could happen to Biden at any time. I mean, I don't want to say more on Secret Service would be after me or something like that. But anything
they're
could
on
happen.
Their way, Joanne.
They're already listening. They know that you're here in Madison, and they're coming for you.
You betcha. But we've got somebody there already in Illinois who's been a tremendous governor. I mean, friendly to the unions, understanding the whole situation with women's health. I don't want to say abortion issues, but women's health. And, of course, friendly to pot and everything else. And he's ready to go. And, you know, having a platform like that, having a way to show the world that this individual, although he's not the prettiest person in the world, could lead the country would be absolutely amazing. So, again, that's my tangent, and I'm sticking to it.
Appreciate it, Joanne. Really appreciate it. 844-967-2789. You can be like Joanne. And interesting enough, I have heard that theory floated, Joanne. But it is interesting. The U.S. Constitution pretty much has a president in waiting, and that's the vice president of the United States. So,
talking the new one.
Yeah, like, I understand. I've seen this kind of theory floated that at the drop of a dime, say, all of a sudden, late in the 2024 cycle, Joe Biden decides that he's not going to run for re-election. Well, you need somebody to be able to ramp up a campaign, and that if you look at it, since he is a billionaire, J.B. Pritzker would be able to self-finance, get the infrastructure up pretty quickly from his gubernatorial runs, and be able to launch a last-minute campaign for president. I have seen that theory. I have a feeling it's going to be whether or not Joe Biden is announcing for a second term will be coming sooner rather than later. It is interesting to note the calendar, the time is flying by. We are pretty much in this 2024 cycle already, which is just shocking to say this early here in 2023. But that just is the case these days. And so, I have heard it floated that theory, Joanne. But I also think it's interesting. He would be able to do that whether or not the National Convention for the Democratic Party was going to Chicago or not. And so I don't necessarily know if J.B. Pritzker needs that level of a platform. I think the mobilizing of an in-state coalition in states like Missouri, Wisconsin, Michigan. Mm-hmm. Well, Michigan's doing pretty all right now. They're cranking out them in Minnesota. Michigan and Minnesota are doing a lot of great things with the organizing and electing of elected officials that they have in those states. They've been doing a pretty good job. But there are others, Atlanta, and being able to continue the work that Stacey Abrams and so many other terrific activists in Georgia have accomplished over the years, I think that would be a great location. It strikes me a little interesting that Chicago got picked, and there are great appeals to Chicago. I love Chicago. I hate the sports teams.
Sure.
I love the city. I don't like the sports teams, but it's a terrific location. The Midwest in the summer can't be beat. It's why I live in Wisconsin. I love it. But
oh, man.
When you look at the political calculus,
yeah,
Chicago just becomes an interesting pick. That's all I'm saying.
And we are lucky to live in Wisconsin. The nukes probably don't make it here. We don't have earthquakes. Tornadoes don't come around that often.
Really, it's snakes and lizards. We don't really have a whole lot of those, and that's why I'm like, I'm tip-top.
And the nukes, dude. The nukes will not make it here. I'm telling you.
That's what you, when you're picking real estate, you're kind of like,
I mean, honestly, from as long as I can remember, you know, being like a sentient being above maybe 8 years old, that was like part of my calculus. Oh, man, Wisconsin is great.
Jeez, man.
Because the nukes can't make it.
Well, what about our proximity to Yellowstone and the supervolcano? That worries me.
I gotta say.
That worries me more than the nuclear weapons.
Hasn't phased me.
Hasn't phased you
at
all.
No, it was in that realm, that sort of age of History Channel dramatic documentaries, quote unquote, scare quotes.
Yep.
You know, it was hip. It was hip to say that you're living next to something
Dr. Strangelove
that could kill you at any moment. And now, I don't know, the fad has passed, and maybe I should be worried.
Oh, folks, that is a little tangent that I don't know if I can reconnect back to where we're going next. But that's okay, because we could just say it's now for something completely different.
Just draw a straight line.
Just go Monty Python, jump it over, and
that's
just
right.
Completely different. Because we're going to follow up something we've been talking about on yesterday's edition with William Walter and on Friday's edition of Dueling Tangents with Todd Alba, is the reporting that has come out around several outlets now, both ProPublica and The Nation magazine, publishing pieces since last week, talking about the billionaire benefactor that Clarence Thomas has been kind of globetrotting around, private jets, super yachts, doing all the really lavish lifestyle trips for somebody that likes the Walmart parking lots. Or at least that's what he claims in a crazy recent documentary financed by Harlan Crow.
That's a crazy comment. Just a crazy thing to say.
It's a very out of touch comment to say, because nobody likes the parking lot at Walmart. It still baffles me that the Walmart parking lot is like, it almost feels like somebody went into an AI chatbot, Evan, and how do I relate to middle America? Enter. And then it spits out something of, you don't like beaches, you like Walmart parking lots.
Incredible, just amazing.
And that really feels that's what it feels like. And so Clarence Thomas is rightfully so, in my opinion, receiving a lot of criticism for not disclosing the transportation and a variety of other gifts that he received from Harlan Crow. And over the weekend, Evan, a lot of people jumped to the defense of Harlan Crow, interestingly enough, because there was no shortage of conservative pundits coming out and saying, I know Harlan Crow. He's a terrific guy. He's an upstanding citizen. I'm vouching for him.
What's $500,000 between friends?
That's what Clarence Thomas said, and a lot of other conservative pundits pretty much echoed that sentiment. And interestingly enough, those individuals echoing those sentiments also paid pundits from a lot of organizations that Harlan Crow donates to. And this reporting over at The Lever, the headline is, "The paid pundits defending Clarence Thomas and his billionaire benefactor. Right-wing pundits rush to defend Harlan Crow's gifts to Clarence Thomas and his Nazi memorabilia collection without disclosing their ties to the mega donor." So it's pretty nice if you can float a friend that just happens to work as a Supreme Court justice for a $500,000 trip around the world, Evan. It's also pretty convenient when you can donate to all of these think tanks and really buy up yourself a lot of talking heads as well, to then, when you're under fire and being criticized publicly, that they'll come to your aid. They'll defend you because, well, they're also on the payroll.
Yeah, there's a little self-preservation at play.
It's fascinating to just see that if you just line them up, all of the conservative pundits that were trying to defend Harlan Crow on social media, on cable news channels, that if you look through their records of where they've worked, what organizations they've been associated with in the past, strangely enough, Evan, a lot of those organizations tying back to Harlan Crow himself. And it's just fascinating to me. So this reporting over at The Lever, an independent news organization, talks about the specific individuals. So one of them is, first name escaping me here real quick, Shapiro is the last name, but not Ben Shapiro, but worked at the Manhattan Institute, a conservative think tank in New York, that Shapiro, Elia, I-L-Y-A, believe it's Elia, but I could be wrong. Shapiro, he's a senior fellow at the right-wing think tank Manhattan Institute, Evan. And this is what he tweeted in defense of Harlan Crow. "Unless Harlan Crow has some business before the court, the ProPublica report about Justice Thomas is a big, breathless, nothing burger." That's what he says. But little did Shapiro mention in his social media defense of Harlan Crow that the Manhattan Institute, where Shapiro leads an amicus brief filing program, lobbying the Supreme Court to rule certain ways on issues like student debt cancellation and corporate taxation, boasts Crow's wife, Kathy, on its board of trustees, and the organization has been called wonderful by Crow himself. fascinating that that's the individual that comes to the defense of Harlan Crow online. And you think, okay, is it just Shapiro? Is this just a kind of one-off, the individual defending Crow online in the wake of this reporting? Well, Jonah Goldberg, the co-founder and editor-in-chief of the conservative news site The Dispatch, also defended Harlan Crow, saying he is a deeply honorable, decent, and patriotic person. In reading from the piece, he characterized Crow's separate garden of dictator statues featuring Russia's Joseph Stalin and Vladimir Lenin as a, quote, an attempt to commemorate the horrors of the 20th century in the spirit of, quote, never again. Goldberg later tweeted, "My conscience is clear. Harlan Crow is a good man and the farthest thing from a Nazi." As the Dispatch separately noted in a news article covering Crow's gifts to Thomas, quote, "Harlan Crow is a minority investor in the Dispatch and a friend of the founders."
Interesting choice of words there.
Interesting choice of words.
Yep, yep. And he has quite the collection. I don't know if you've heard.
But literally, the co-founder of the Dispatch is good friends with Harlan Crow, but the guy's saying, hey, I'm vouching for him, without actually saying the associated ties that he's a minority investor and good friends with the co-founder.
Twitter works fast. The hive mind, they'll find it. He doesn't need to tell us. They'll just find it.
But Evan, it's being reported in good faith by other outlets, and it goes in this cyclical nature where it gets just washed clean. It's like, oh no, the conservative pundits are just saying it's a bunch of hoopla, so you don't actually have to read or actually be aware of any of this reporting because the pundits that you listen to are saying it's a whole lot of nothing. Negating the fact that the individual that is saying it's a whole lot of nothing is paid for or friends with the individual that they're defending, and it's just baffling to me.
Imagine the confidence being in that world, in that circle, knowing that you can just catch and kill any story you want, just you're friends with everybody. That must feel pretty crazy.
And if you think this is a one-off with Harlan Crow and these organizations, the Manhattan Institute and the Dispatch, it's happening here in Wisconsin as well, folks. The MacGyver Institute, the quote-unquote free market think tank that conservative outlets use all the time here in Wisconsin. It gets justified as the ideological focal point of the conservative movement in Wisconsin. It's founded, it was not founded, but a lot of its funding comes from the Bradley Institute, the dark money supergroup here in Wisconsin that does donations to all different organizations, getting a lot of their dark money from the Uline family. And so Dick and Liz Uline do the same exact thing, where they have these little tiny arms. And now they're not tiny, but there's many.
Little T-Rex arms.
The octopus arms, where they get everywhere, all over the place, and they have these individuals that will come and defend them when they get publicly criticized. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. We're going to continue the conversation. 844-967-2789.
He loves you, and he needs money.
Bring money to Big Rock in Mojave Desert at dawn.
It's no big deal.
Hey folks, Stephanie Miller here as an enlightened.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
It's game day at Jim's house, and the spread is impressive.
Mike's already done some damage with the hot wings, and now he's dropping back and going deep for another slice of pizza.
I sure hope he brought the Pepto.
Mike knows the Pepto-Bismol provides fast, five-symptom relief from unexpected stomach upsets. He's no rookie.
The way he's throwing back those nachos, he's the GOAT.
Be ready for game day with Pepto-Bismol.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
If you're grilling this weekend, be sure to have plenty of Village Hearth buns on hand. Fancy equipment and secret sauces are great, but once you've mastered the basics, it's all about the bun. Your perfectly grilled burgers and hot dogs deserve the best. And with several varieties to choose from, including unsliced old-fashioned, classic white or wheat, country potato, and mini sliders, the bakers of Village Hearth have the buns your family will love. Village Hearth buns, locally baked and delivered fresh daily.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows around 55 tonight. Under clear skies, southwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Ample sunshine expected again tomorrow. Highs level off around 80. Clear skies tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 56. Dry with temps well above average Thursday and Friday, and highs from the mid-70s to the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 73 degrees.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. And one quick correction there at the end of the last segment. I referenced Liz and Dick Uline donating to the Bradley Foundation. My apologies. The organization was not associated with that right-wing billionaire couple. Diane Hendricks, though, the other right-wing billionaire here in Wisconsin based out of Beloit, she is the one with the connection to the Bradley Institute.
Sure.
So my apologies. As we were heading to break there, I did not get a chance to pull up the screen. But talking about the amount of dark money and political influence these individuals with dark money are able to have, in this case, with Harlan Crow in Texas, but friends with Clarence Thomas, it's not unique to Harlan Crow and the organizations that he has donated to in the past. It is here in Wisconsin as well. We have a perverse problem with this. And reading from a piece over at the our friend's Wisconsin Democracy Campaign back from 2018, talking about the ties that the Bradley Foundation has had here in Wisconsin. And so this is a difficult trend to be able to track, because the way that campaign finance laws and these donations have really been just, the water's been muddied for them. So it's hard to track in real time. You're relying on a little outdated information sometimes. So reading back from 2018, our friends over at Wisconsin Democracy Campaign talking about the influence that is peddled by the Linda and Harry Bradley Foundation, or Bradley Foundation for short. The Milwaukee-based conservative foundation with about a $900 million in assets has become one of the nation's largest funders of right-wing think tanks, political groups, and social and economic policies. And so the groups that the Bradley Foundation funds are American Majority, Freedom Foundation, Wisconsin Club for Growth, American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC, Americans for Prosperity, Center for Union Facts, the Heritage Foundation, the Federalist Society, and the Cato Institute, to name a few, along with many other organizations that Bradley Foundation is then sent to, including money has been fueled by a dozen groups and activities in Wisconsin in the last 8 years. Some of those organized and spearhead support for Republican Governor Scott Walker at the time, successful effort to severely restrict public employee collective bargaining rights in 2011. The groups included the MacIver Institute for Public Policy, Media Trackers, American Majority, Badger Institute, Americans for Prosperity, and the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty.
Sounds pretty bad when you list them off like that.
Those are all the groups associated with this dark money. And so it's not just Harlan Crow. It is something that we are seeing now after Citizens United. This has been an explosion. There are organizations like this doing this washing of institutional washing and ideological washing of conservative billionaires and millionaires to be able to go and have their pundits and their talking heads through these think tanks and be able to go and defend the politicians that they then court, like Clarence Thomas. Whether or not you want to refer to him as a politician, he is a member of the country's highest court. He is one of 9 Supreme Court justices. And ethics rules clearly state that he should be disclosing the amount of travel that he's doing with Harlan Crow. And he reported a private jet trip in 1997. And he reported previous gifts from Harlan Crow in the early 2000s. And in 2004, there was reporting done on it. And it seems like Clarence Thomas just didn't like the criticism that came out after he reported those gifts. And rather than continue to report them and publicly disclose, as he was legally should have been doing all this time, he just stopped doing it. And it is immensely frustrating that there are these organizations, these think tanks, this conservative ecosystem or echo chamber, however you want to refer to it, that all of a sudden just says, oh, well, don't believe your lying eyes. This isn't as big of a deal as some people want you to think. And it does feel like it's just going to be accepted that Clarence Thomas is going to continue to be able to do what he does. He's going to live his lavish lifestyle. He's going to go in and record documentaries about his life saying, I'm just a regular stock kind of guy.
Maybe leak a couple documents. Couple important documents.
That we'll never know. Because very much like the Dobbs decision, it seems like the court is going to be left to its own devices to monitor these ethics questions. Because
And I even sort of get that. But when it's not, when they don't serve in good faith, it does not look good.
I don't get that. There should be high standards for these individuals to serve in lifetime appointments.
I get it from 30,000 feet, right? Like, I sort of understand why having an institution.
Are you going on a lot of private jet rides as well?
No, not at all.
How are you getting to 30,000 feet?
30,000. No, no. Oh, I like it. No, I like that. I like
that. Yeah, that's where they're viewing it from, too. From 30,000 feet on the private jets, Clarence Thomas says, I'm above all of you. I'm not beholden to your ethics rules. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And that's where it's left. Because even the calls from the U.S. Senate that could hold an investigation or an ethics investigation inquiry into the non-disclosure of these trips. The Dick Durbin on the Judiciary Committee is essentially left to asking Supreme Court Justice Roberts to say, hey, get your house in order. And it doesn't seem like it's going to happen, because that's the threat of an ethics inquiry is essentially what the U.S. Senate can do. And they're even further questions about the ability of what the U.S. Senate can do right now with U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, missing roughly 75% of the votes in 2023. She's an 89-year-old woman, and she is in questionable health right now. And that is slowing up the works as well about what Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee can do to not only launch ethics inquiries, but also to confirm Biden administration judges.
Sure.
And yeah. So it seems like there is not, that there's not going to be a whole lot of movement, unfortunately, on this front. And it is going to be the Supreme Court justices left to their own devices to decide whether or not they want to disclose or report anything when it comes to ethical questions. And last year, the Supreme Court launched its own investigation into the Dobbs decision, the leak of the Dobbs decision about a month before the official decision came out. And none of the justices were even questioned in that investigation. None of the justices felt like it was important enough. They all talked about the gravity of how a betrayal of trust it was that the leak happened. But none of them actually took the inquiry, the investigation into how it happened, serious enough to sit down with the investigators. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. We're going to be joined again by William Walter tomorrow on a Wednesday edition with Will. If you missed any portion of this show, go check out the podcast, civicmedia.us. Talk to you tomorrow at 2. See you then.
Naturally. the Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Speaker Voss, I understand you don't have any children. Does that mean he's been possibly practicing
sex with
contraceptives?
What?
Or is he just less than a man? How do you go through the entire life, three wives later, and no chitlins?
Shooting blanks?
Perhaps.
Pull and pray.
Doubtful.
Not getting any.
Unlikely.
Unable to perform.
More likely.
Paying for it.
I hate to judge.
We don't judge here. We're the Devil's Advocate.
Listen to the Devil's Advocates live weekdays from 3 to 6.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.